Okay, good evening to everybody. Parshas Truma, of course, begins the latter half of the Sefer Shmot, and the lion's share of Truma, Tetzaveh, Kishisa, Vayakam, Pekudeh, of course, discusses the length of the building of the Mishkan, and certainly the theme and the overwhelming amount of generosity and philanthropic nature that Bnei Yisrael showed in terms of building the Mishkan is certainly a strong part of the Parshas. That the amount that Bnei Yisrael brought was so overwhelming that Moshe Rabbeinu even had to stop Bnei Yisrael from bringing more donations. A fundraiser's dream, stop, and indeed Moshe Rabbeinu exactly had to do that. The amount of kesev, zahav, nechoshet, chelat, argam, talashani, sheshvizim, an enormous amount of donations were brought, and indeed the Mishkan was a beautiful way that Bnei Yisrael were able to show their excitement, enthusiasm, and enormous sense of magnanimity and interest in building the Mishkan. However, it's quite striking the difference between the building of the Mishkan vis-a-vis the fact that we don't know who gave the amount that they gave and to what it was given to. As opposed to building the Beis Hamikdash, certainly in the Haftarah and other places you see as well, specifically the Gemara Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel Beis notes, we know exactly who donated what to the Beis Hamikdash. We know which individuals gave particulars, so much so that we even know that the names of some of the places or points or stations in the Beis Hamikdash are named after people. Most famously, of course, Shar Nicanor, famous even non-Jew. Who donated a shar, a gate, to the Beis HaMikdash. As opposed to the Mishkan, the donations were enormous, but who actually gave the donations, and what were the donations earmarked for? Beis HaMikdash we know, but the Mishkan we don't. Why is that difference exist? The Brisker Rav, the Griz, Rabbi Yitzchak Zev HaLevi Soloveitchik, is most well known for his commentary on the Torah, amongst his other chidushim on Shas. But there's a relatively new commentary that came out that can be found in the back of the Sefer Beis HaLevi al HaTorah. It's called Chidushi HaGriz HaChadashos. And the Brisker Rav questions the Pasuk and Parshas Vayakel, Perek Lamed Hei Pasuk Lamed Beis, which defines Bezalel as being somebody who was Yodea Lachashov Machshavo. Literally, he knew how to weave design. But the Brisker Rav questions, as the other Rishon, what does that literally mean, Lachshov Machshavos? What's the Kavanah of the Pasuk in telling us that Bezalel knew how to weave design, Lachashov Machshavos? The Brisker Rav tells of a story where Chaim Volozhin, of course, was the outstanding disciple, the Talmudic of the Gra, the founder of the Volozhin Yeshiva. And Chaim Volozhin, there was one particular philanthropist who was very generous with the Yeshiva, and year after year gave a very sizable donation to the Yeshiva. Lo and behold, one year, the donor decided not to send a donation, and Reb Chaim in his own recognized this and saw the missing numbers and recognized that this particular donor did not give his donation that he did annually. And Reb Chaim decided that he would travel to meet the donor to see what was doing. Maybe there was a problem, maybe somebody was ill. And Reb Chaim went to speak with him and have a conversation. Reb Chaim questioned him, said, how could it be? Year after year, you send us a very fine, important donation that helps sustain the yeshiva. And this year, you decided not to do that. Is everything okay? What's the problem? And the donor said, look, I work very hard to make a living, and I am very happy to give a donation to the yeshiva. But you know what happened? Last year, when the mishulach came along, the fundraiser for the yeshiva came, I saw he came with a donkey, and he came with a messenger, and I saw that my money was not going to go to the yeshiva, but it was helping to service and offshoot other costs, including the donkey, and including, you know, the messenger, and including various other necessities that were allowed the mishulach to come along his way. He said, look, because I work hard, I'm happy and willing and excited to give money to the Volozhin Yeshiva, it's an outstanding yeshiva, but I wanted to go to the yeshiva, to the bachurim, who are learning, and to the, you know, maintenance of the building, and to feed the boys, but not to other accessories that yeshiva needs in order to run. So Chaim said, I'll tell you something. Look at the pasuk in Parshas Vayakel. It says about Bezalel Lachashov Machshavo. He asked Reb Chaim, this individual philanthropist donor, what does that mean, Lachashov Machshavo? So Reb Chaim explained to him, you know, everybody, Bizman, the building of the Mishkan, wanted to their donation to go to the extremely important part of the building of the Mishkan, the Aron Kodesh. Everybody wanted their donation. And we knew Oben Esau gave an extraordinary amount of money. Zav, Kesef, Nechoshes, Tchelet, Argaman, everything and everything was given to the building of the Mishkan. But do you think that somebody didn't want their donation to go to the Aron, to the Mizbeach, in the most important areas of the Mishkan? So said Reb Chaim, how did Bezalel know how to earmark each donation to the right place? So Reb Chaim explained, Lachashov Machshavos, that Bezalel knew what was inside every donor. He had the thoughts worked out. He was able to penetrate the mind and the heart of every donor, Bezman HaMishkan, where they wanted their donation to go. And he saw in deep down in the deep spirits and the recesses of every individual's mind and brain and hearts where they were really wanting their donation to go. Did they really want to give it? Were they really desiring to give this tzedakah? And therefore, as a result, the characteristic trait that Bezalel had of Lachashov Mashavos allowed him to figure out where every single donation should go. Said Reb Chaim to this individual, we are not on the level of Bezalel, and we don't have the ability to understand where our donation should go. But you, Mr. Philanthropist, Mr. Donor, if you really, really have a deep-hearted desire that the money that you're giving should go to the right cause, then give your donation, and if that's where it should go, that's where it will go. Everybody's donation is important, whether it's for the driver, whether it's for the donkey, whether it's for the toilet paper, whether it's for the building, whether it's for the chairs in the base madrash, or whether it's for the building of the Aron Kodesh. But at the end of the day, it's at your heart and in your desires that are understood where that money should be earmarked specifically to go. It could be, one could suggest, based upon this resolution, on the words Lachashov Machshavos and Reb Chaim Voloshin's understanding of those words, that maybe we can suggest a possible answer as to why it is that in the Mishkan there were no plaques and there were no clear destinations of where the donations were as opposed to the Beis Hamikdash. Because there was no need to put up a plaque, because we knew and Bezalel knew deep down whether or not that person really wanted his name on the Aron, or he wanted his name just to be under the light, or whether or not the person who didn't want his donation necessarily to be in the most public way, but he wanted it to be private. Bezalel had the ability to figure that out, and for that reason, we don't find any plaques or any names or anybody specifically connected in their donation, and it was never publicized where it would go, because Bezalel really knew whose name belonged to what, and therefore nothing was placed in terms of a plaque in the Mishkan. As opposed to the Beis HaMikdash, even with the great Shlomo and all the giants who were involved in building the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't have that keen sense that Bezalel had to be a Lachashov Machshavos, and for that reason we see clearly in the Gemara, as well as Psukim and Sefer Malachim, that tell us exactly where they went and where donations went and who gave what and for what reason, and that might be a potential distinction between the Mishkan and the Mikdash in terms of were plaques placed or were plaques not placed. But in terms of the halachic question, so what's better in terms of stock and distribution? Is it better to give anonymously, the way it seems given, or at least the way we see it in the Mishkan, or is it better to give something publicly so that people know? And of course, arguments can be made in either direction, but let's start with the comment of the Ramah. The Ramah writes in Hilchos Tzedakah, in Siman Resh Mem Tes, Sif Yud Gimel, Al kol panim lo yispoer ha'adam b'tzedakah shenoseh. A person shouldn't glorify and announce and be proud and tell everybody about the tzedakah that he or she gave. If a person does publicize and glorify the amount of tzedakah that he or she gave, not only will that individual not receive reward for the tzedakah that they gave, but one will be punished. If your whole purpose and your whole point in giving tzedakah is just to glorify your name and to build yourself up, or even if it's both, you're giving tzedakah because you really want to give and you really want to help, but at the same time you're doing it as a way and as a means to build oneself up, so says the Ramah, quoting the Smag, quoting the Beis Yosef, that not only is it inappropriate, not only it will not receive reward, but moreover, one will be punished. However, the Ramah is not finished. The Ramah quotes a tshuva of the Rashba, in Tuf Kuf Pei Aleph, who writes, Mishemakdish davar l'tzedakah, somebody who donates something to tzedakah, mutar lo shichtov shmo alav, it's permitted for that individual to place his name on the item that was donated. Why? In order that should serve as a testimony, as a memorial for him. And the Ramah concludes, quoting the Rashba, it's appropriate to do that. But how do you understand the resha to the seifa of the Rama? In the beginning of the comments of the Rama writes, a person shouldn't announce, shouldn't publicize, shouldn't glorify his donation. Not only will the person not receive a reward, but will also be punished. And on the other hand, the Rama writes that when you're donating an object or something to tzedakah, not only is it permissible to place your name on the item that you donate, but moreover, it's appropriate to do. How do we reconcile the beginning of the Rama to the end of the Rama? In the Tshuva San Hagos, in the second volume of Ramosha Sternbach, Shlita's Tshuvas, so he notes this discrepancy or this apparent contradiction between the beginning and the end of the Ramah, and he says it depends what we're talking about. The Reisha, the beginning of the Ramah, is talking about giving tzedakah to aniyim. When you're distributing tzedakah to poor people, there it's inappropriate to publicize and to glorify to who and to what you gave, because it's coming at the expense of somebody else. That's inappropriate, and not only that, you'll be punished. On the other hand, if you're donating something to a cause or a space or a place or to an institution, and you're giving something that has a tangible sense to it, where it's not merely a financial contribution, it's not cash, it's not a check, or it's a bond, but you're rather talking about donating something substantial where you could hold it or touch it or feel it, there to put your name on it, says the Rama, is okay. However, let's try to understand. And of course, the Rama in the second half is talking about a shul, talking about a Beis HaKnesses, a Beis HaMedrash, a school, or the variety of tzedakah organizations and the variety of institutions that exist of a holy nature that one should put their name on it, and roi lasos kein, it's appropriate to do it. But why is that appropriate to do? Wouldn't it be better just to keep it anonymous as well? So this question is raised by the Rashba. The Rashba, as the Rama quotes in the Tshuva, asks, Yesh l'ayin, somebody wanted to donate a building, somebody wanted to donate part of a building, or things in the building, either based upon the donor's name or based upon somebody who passed away. Is that appropriate or is that inappropriate? So the Rashba answers that it's appropriate, it's a good thing to do, and he explains, the custom has developed that when one donates something, a building particularly, or a shul, Beis Medrash, as we discussed, the custom develops to place the name of the person on the building. It's a well-known custom, and it's appropriate custom. It's the midah chachamim of wise people to do it, and it's an old, long-standing custom. In order to give reward to one who did a mitzvah. And not only that, the Rashba says we see in the Torah, many times the Torah gives accolades and praise and articulates what wonderful things that people did. For example, Vayishma Reuven v'yatzileh mi'adam. The Pasuk says that Reuven himself saved Yosef from the boar. Why does the Torah have to go out of its way to tell you that Dafka Reuven did it? In order, says the Rashba, to give praise and accolades to somebody who did something appropriate. And for that reason, says the Rashba, that it's nice and right and appropriate and good and an old standing custom to place one's name on a building or on a place or space, a room that has been donated. And the Rashba indeed quotes the Gemara that we mentioned earlier, Baba Basra, and Daf Kuflam and Gimel on the base, that Yossi ben Uezer gave a particular item to the base of Mikdash, and it was placed and was written, and a plaque was given. This tshuva of the Rashba, of course, is quoted by the Rama, as I just mentioned, in Simar Reish Matzeth, as well as by the Shach. In his commentary, notes this Rashba, and speaks about the importance of placing one's name on it in order to give schar to Osei Mitzvah. Interestingly, however, the Taz, in his commentary on the Rama, quotes the Rashba as well and says there's a different reason for placing one's name on a building or putting up a plaque regarding something that somebody did. And he says, Shelo lishanos oso davar shenitzav lemidi achrini. The reason for putting somebody's name on an Aron Kodesh, on a bima, on a kosel, is simply to remind us of who donated it, in order that nobody else will donate it, and that the person's name remains connected to the item that was donated. And nobody should move or remove that name, or nobody else should donate or try to re-donate the item that was given to the Beis HaKnesses or to the Beis HaMedrash. And for that reason, says the Taz, is why it's appropriate to place a person's name on the item that was donated. The Shach himself in the Kudas HaKesef argues vehemently on the Taz, and he says, if you read the Tshuva of the Rashba, it's very clear that the reason that you put a name of somebody on the item or a plaque recognizing the donor is nothing to do with switching it or that somebody else should come along and steal the Aron Kodesh or the donation and put another individual's name on it. But the Rashba says it's in order to give schar, reward, to the individuals who did the mitzvah of the donation. the Pshach notes in the Nekudas HaKesef two very basic nafkamina, two practical differences between the opinion of the Shach and opinion of the Taz as to why a name is placed and why it's appropriate to happen. One nafkamina says the Shach is in a situation where the shul, or the base of Knesset, the base measure itself decides that they will never, ever, whatsoever change the item that was donated. Once the Aron Kodesh comes in, it will never be changed. Once the paroches goes in, it will never be changed. Once the bima is placed, it will never be changed. Once the clock in the shul has been donated, it will never be changed. Well, it will never be changed, so according to the Taz, there's no reason to put up the donor's name, because we're never concerned that somebody else is going to come and try to donate it, or somebody's going to come and try to re-donate or to upgrade the item that has been donated. However, according to the Shach, that the reason for placing a person's name has nothing to do with the concern of it being switched, but rather the reason is that it should be put up in order to honor and to recognize the individual who gave the donation, to give reward for it, and to maybe even encourage others to do the same. The Shach says absolutely positively you should put it up in a shul or in a base knesset or a base medrash, where even though there is a board that's decided, or the Zion Tovi Ha'ir, or the Rav, whoever is responsible for the donations, has made the decision that will not be changed. A second nafkamina. Let's say somebody donates an aron, a paroches, a room. Can one rededicate it, and can another individual come and re-sponsor the room, the shul, the aron, or the bima? Well, once a person put it in, that person maybe has the idea that it's going to be there forever. Can one say that it can be switched or upgraded? This, again, should be a nafkamina between the Shach and the Taz. According to the Taz, once a person's name has been placed on the item, the understanding is that it can never be switched. Shiloshinu. Nobody should come and rededicate it, or redonate, or upgrade the donation once it's been given. However, according to the Shach, if the reason for placing the name is in order to give tzchar, the reward, the individual who put it, well, that's not for longevity, and that's not necessarily for posterity. It might work for 10, 20, 30 years. But at the end of the day, if somebody else wants to come in to redonate and to rededicate, it would be permitted. This latter question is not academic, and it's actually quite practical. It's very often that a shul or a beis medrash or an institution dedicates a building or room or a portion or a place or a space, and after some amount of years, another individual wants to rededicate it, or a shul is going to rebuild, or an Aron Kodesh wears out, or the parochet wears out. Well, in that situation, what's the halacha? We pass like the Shach, that once the name is up, it can be replaced because it's worn and because you can give schar to one person, you can give schar to somebody else. Or like the Taz, once the name has gone up, the name is there for posterity, can never be taken down again. Racha Shulchan writes about this, Hakol Lefi'enyan, everything according to the appropriate decision. It seems to be that there are two practical ways to go about such a situation. The first is when the donation is made, there should be an understanding between the donor and the institution as to how long the donation of the building, of the room, of the aron is going to be for. Maybe it's forever, maybe it's 10 years, maybe it's 20, maybe it's 30. Let's say you didn't do that, and let's say an individual donated a particular part of a building or a shul. So it depends potentially what was donated. If you're talking about a paroches, if you're talking about a cover for various parts of the shul. So it's understood. There's wear and tear, and the Aron Kodesh is opened and closed, and the parochas is opened and closed. After 10, 15, 20, 30 years, it's going to wear. And at that point, there would be potential to switch it. Moreover, if you're talking about something that really gets wear and tear, even after a shorter amount of time, there's potential to assume that it also can be rededicated. If you're talking about a building or a room, that typically is understood between the donor and the institution, that is there for longevity. Of course, the best thing to do in that circumstance is to create a contract at the beginning so that it will be understood. But on the other hand, if it's not, the second best thing to do is when there is a requirement or there is a need to rededicate, well, in that circumstance, the best thing to do is to speak to the original donor or the children of the original donor and see if they're willing to rededicate, if they're willing to upgrade because of the necessity, and if they are, then they should be first dibs and they should have the first chance. I was once speaking to Shmuel Kamenetsky about this, and he indeed told me the best thing to do in such a situation is to ask the first donors if they're interested in upgrading. They should have the first chance to say no, and if not, then you could pass it on, especially when it comes to something where it's understood that it's not there for longevity and for eternity and for posterity, not like a building and not like a room. So, of course, this question of placing names on buildings, on shul, on Bate Medrash and Bate Knesset, on Aron Kodesh and on Paroches, certainly has practical ramifications. Pesachei Tshuva here, commenting on the Raman, Simin Reish Mem Tes, Sifkat Yigimel, quotes a Tshuva of the Munah Shmuel, who asked him who a gabbai had asked him whether or not he was permitted to place his name on the building because he helped donate and he helped develop the cause. He helped hire the contractor. He helped hire the individuals to do all the different pieces of labor in order to bring the building to fruition. The gabbai himself never donated any money to the shul, but it's because of his alacrity and his excitement, enthusiasm, and initiative that the project actually took stand. And as a result of what he did, he wanted to place his name on the building. And indeed, that's what he did. Without asking, he placed his name on a plaque and he put it up. And the shul was very angered and upset. He didn't donate any money. And they said, you have to take the plaque down. And the question came to the Mor Shmuel, and the Mor Shmuel paskin, that even though he was responsible for building the building and getting the players to do what they had to do, however, because he wasn't specifically a donor, he wasn't permitted to put up a plaque, certainly without the permission of the congregation, and the congregation was permitted to take down the plaque, and that's the position of the Pesachei Tshuva. Of course, there are other situations as well that have to be understood and recognized when it comes to giving donations. Now, on the one hand, of course, it's a wonderful and a beautiful thing to do, and of course, it encourages other people to give, and that's the reason why the Rashba himself writes, that it's Rali Lassos Kane. It's appropriate to do because it encourages oneself. Often it's done with Iloi Nishmas, a relative, a family member, or it's for the sake of Hatzlacha for another family member. So there it's understood that part of the campaign and part of the ability for the institution to raise funds is that putting up a name does do something. And of course, one should recognize that according to the Rashba and the Rama, not only is there a het there, but it's okay. It's mutter, Rali Lassos Kane, either because of the taz that it shouldn't get switched by somebody else, or because of the Rashba that we give skar to Osei Mitzvah. However, when it comes to tzedakah, it does seem that if it's regarding aniyim and coming to finances, cash and checks, then in that situation, the Mechaber says that there are 8 milos to tzedakah. There are 8 levels to giving tzedakah. The highest value, of course, is helping somebody get a job and not creating a tzedakah situation, but giving ability to somebody to work for him or herself. But then the Mechaber says in Siman Reish Mem Tes Zayin Pachos Mizeh. The next best level in giving tzedakah is Hanosein Tzedakah L'Ani V'Lo Yada L'Miyiten. A person doesn't know who he's giving to. V'Lo Yada Ha'Ani Mimi Mekadel. L'Ani doesn't know who he's receiving the money from. That is the second highest form of tzedakah, when the donor doesn't know who he's giving it to and the recipient doesn't know who the donor is. So there you see that, of course, when it comes to the mitzvah of tzedakah, of Ma'aser Kesafim, of giving finances to an individual, the best thing to do in that situation is to do it in a quiet way, as opposed to when it comes to a building, a shul, a Beit HaKnesses, or a Beit HaMedrash, where in that situation it's appropriate to give in a more public way. So regarding our original question, is anonymity the best way, or is publicity the best way? So the answer is it depends. When it comes to stock of funds to an ani, to aniyim, to institutions that are helping causes for poor, maybe the best thing to do is to do it in a quiet, anonymous way, or not in an ostentatious and a bragging way. It's okay to be proud, and it's okay to give tzedakah, but not to do so in the most ostentatious or a public way. Your name is mentioned, your name is mentioned, that's okay. But when it comes to a building or a being makdish davar to tzedakah, an item, a cheftza, something to tzedakah of more significant, tangible elements, there it's appropriate thing to do. As we creep closer to Purim, only days away, of course, Purim, the nature of Purim and the Yom Tov of Purim speaks much to giving and to donating. If it's Mishloach Manos, if it's Matanos Avyonim, of course, the opportunity that we have to give tzedakah is enormous. Of course, Matanos Avyonim is a mitzvah to give to an ani, and it's separate from the mitzvah of Ma'aser Kesafim, and the ability, says the Rambam, to give Matanos Avyonim trumps Mishloach Manos. It trumps the mitzvah of Sudas Purim. If a person has allocated a certain amount of money toward the holiday of Purim, so the greatest amount of that should go to Matanos Avyonim to try to help some aniyim. Interesting to note, some achronim have a interesting contrast between Matanos Avyonim and tzedakah. A matana is a present, and a present you have to give to somebody and they know who gave it, and you know who the recipient is, and you know who the donor is. So maybe when it comes to Matanos Avyonim, because it's called a matana, dafka, you have to know the person you're giving to, and the recipient should know who it's coming from. Some achronim made such a suggestion, including the Beis Avi and the Shuva. However, the common practice is that it's not an item that is public, it's not an item that's well known, but as the Rambam writes in the end of Hilchos Yom Tov, which the Mishnah Berurah quotes here, both in Hilchos Purim as well as numerous other places in Hilchos Yom Tov, that the greatest thing that one could do is to gladden the heart of an ani, somebody who's downtrodden, somebody who's needy, somebody who needs to lift up. the greatest thing that we can do is always to help somebody else, and to help somebody financially, to help somebody stand, to help make somebody happy on a holiday when they don't have the ability to financially help themselves. The greatest thing, the greatest mitzvah that we can do is to help them. Of course, it's always a blessing to be a donor and not to be a recipient. The Kadosh Baruch Hu should help each of us that we continue successfully. We should receive bracha. We should be zochet to the bounty that Hashem has given us. And aser b'shil shetis aser. We should continue to give our ma'aser in order that HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues to bring us success and to bring wealth to all of us and to help others that we are able to help. We should be zochet to continue being from the helpers and not from the needers. Have a wonderful evening.